You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. The podcast.
J. Will and Zubin. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. Double dipping today, fellas. Hanging out with you guys this morning, and then my man Bart Scott and I have our show at noon Eastern. See, you guys gonna hang out with me in between, just like kill some time with me?
That's a negative, Ghost
early,
Rider.
Early, yeah.
I love you.
No,
I will be
brunch.
Going home.
Negative. Not gonna be able to help you.
You can use it. You can use this one, Key. COVID protocols. Can't hang around this.
Oh,
space.
Is that what we're gonna do?
Not
that,
only that, yeah, I'll let you use the green room too. You can use the green room.
You gotta let me use the green room.
You didn't know that I was a president?
I do
ESPN?
Now.
He's the CEO of ESPN.
Sports.
Yes, sports. Sports.
Not
to be confused with the other ESPN that doesn't cover sports.
Yes. That's exactly right.
I just like that. I like that I'm allowed in the fort today. I appreciate that. So
yes, I am a dummy.
Thank you for that. Before we get to the college, we got a couple of the college basketball stars.
I didn't say anything.
You're not messing me up. I'm always awkward like this. We have the Drew Brees news today, and when we think about his retirement and what he meant to the Saints and the city of New Orleans, let's be honest, there's now the next question, of course, which is how do they honor him? Everybody today gets a statue. The number retirement to me is that's the given. Like you don't even have to announce it. We already know. Just tell us which game, right? But how do you honor somebody like that who with the impact that he's had on the franchise but also on that city and everything that city has been?
I would just a statue, man. Everybody to a degree, not everybody. So literally don't think that I'm saying everybody gets their numbers retired when you're great with a franchise. But not everybody gets that statue out front, right? I mean, like, think about it. It's something special. So for him to be arguably the greatest player in the New Orleans Saints history and brought them their only championship along with other guys that played on the team, but he was the quarterback, you just drop that thing right in the middle of the stadium somewhere, right outside, ticket, wherever they go in the ticket gate, whatever
main
that
entrance.
Case. Main entrance.
Yeah.
Boom. There's Drew Brees. Whatever his signature drop back move is, you do it.
I think he should have a statue, but I'm curious when because I've talked to a couple of friends who are down that area over the last couple of days, and I just posed this question to you guys, not saying you have to feel a certain way about it or not. Does his comments about kneeling or anything, does that influence your decision about how you think about Drew Brees? Because there is a subset of people out there that it is influenced due to that. I'm not saying that person is me. I think he should have a statue, but I'm curious about how those people feel about that.
It doesn't.
Or it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to me because I understand what it is. So I'm over that. I'm moved on from that.
Does it overshadow the 15 years? He likes to think to me is this one moment where he says something and then regrets
it
later.
It's a pretty big moment, though.
No, it's a big moment.
It was a big thing.
I
think it was a big thing.
I get it. I understand the situation 100%, Jay, but I'm not going to continue to replay that in my mind over and over again. It's like, I know who you are. I get it.
I hear you.
I
it
see
doesn't
you.
Take away from everything he's done for the franchise and the city.
Okay.
I hear all that. Like I said, I'm in agreement with you guys.
I'm just posing the opposite side.
Definitely an interesting debate and conversation to have going forward. But let's get back into college basketball as the college basketball season has reached tournament time. And that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. You can go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award late season top 15 nominees.
Buckets.
Two of the Wooden Award late season top 15 nominees going to join us here over the next 15 minutes. Iowa's Luca Garza and Illinois' Ayo Dosunmu. And Dosunmu in Illinois is certainly a great story, but Garza is the best player in college basketball. He joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Luca, let's just begin there. Does this sort of feel like for you the unfinished business? You know, obviously, I think all of the players felt like that without having a tournament last year. But for you, being a senior, having that last kind of that final statement for you in that uniform, what does the ability to play in the NCAA tournament mean to you personally?
It means the world to me, honestly. You know, I think the last memory I have of the tournament with not having one last year was us losing in overtime to Tennessee to go to the Sweet 16. And that's been burned in my head since, you know, leaving that floor. So, you know, it's something that means the world to me. You know, I've worked extremely hard to try to, you know, push this team, and we've all worked so hard to get back to this moment. So we're very excited about our opportunity.
Luka, you're going to be National Player of the Year, man. I know that from one to another. I'm going to congratulate you early on that. Yes, I will project it. But I wanted to ask you about how you dealt with something throughout the year. You got your jersey retired, man. You know, most times players, like I left college and then came back to get my jersey retired at Duke, but yours happened throughout your season. How was that experience ultimately, and how do you feel like you guys are ready for the tournament right now?
Well, first of all, thank you. But second of all, you know, it was surreal. You know, I didn't expect it. It happened on senior day too, and I was already kind of an emotional mess on senior day as well. So, you know, it just kind of all hit me at once. And I've just been so thankful that Coach McCaffrey gave me an opportunity to come here to the University of Iowa. You know, there were a lot of coaches who didn't really see it in me. I didn't think I had the foot speed or the athleticism to be able to compete at this level. And he saw right through that and gave me a chance. And, you know, I've just been really lucky and blessed to play with some of the guards that I've played with, because, you know, a big man is nothing without his guards.
I hear you, man. You guys in your region in the West, you're the 2-seed. Gonzaga's the 1-seed. You guys met earlier this year. I'm not putting the cart before the horse. Obviously, you know there's a lot of games in between those games. But, you know, how do you guys look at your region, and how are you guys preparing for Indianapolis?
You know, I think the way we prepare is just so we're focused on Grand Canyon. We know they're a great team. You know, they won the WAC regular season and postseason, which is very impressive. You know, we know they're a dangerous team, and, you know, it's happened before. So we're really locked into making sure that we take it one game at a time. And especially as Coach McCaffrey, who's coached as a 13, 14, 15 seed, he understands that mindset. So we know that, you know, our main focus can't be on who we're playing in the Sweet 16, who we're playing in the round of 32. It's got to be just on Grand Canyon right now, and that's what we're locked into.
The Big Ten has 9 teams in the NCAA tournament. How has that how's playing in that conference prepared you guys for the next steps?
You know, it's been awesome. You know, truly, as a competitor, you want to play against the best. So it's been a lot of fun. But, you know, when you talk about how good the league is, you know, on both sides during the you know, Big Ten tournament, the semifinals were a 1-seed versus a 2-seed. So that's just the type of level of competition, you know, in our league. And that's going to prepare us to play anybody else, because we've seen it all.
You got to take care of business, obviously, in the tournament. But if you win a national championship, you've had a lot of accomplishments in your young career. If you win that national title, where does that rank up with those accomplishments?
That would be, you know, the best thing I've ever done in my life. You know, that would be my favorite, you know, of everything you can list about me. You know, I'm always a guy who wants to win. And, you know, obviously, you know, I didn't come back, you know, to school, you know, for the individual accomplishments. I came back to win as a team and to win in March. So I'm very excited about this opportunity to go out there with my brothers and win a championship.
I got to say, guys, now I've watched Luka play, and I've thought this, but now that we see him up close and personal here in the interview, Luka, have you ever heard anyone say to you, you look like Wally Szczerbiak?
Yes, I have. you know, especially, I think the first time really was, you know, when I was actually in the tournament my sophomore year, and I checked my phone after the game, and it was like, people are comparing me to different people because of my eyebrows and all of this. So,
I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say it. Wally's a friend of mine, so.
Wally was one of those people. There were a lot, you know, some people on Sesame Street, you know, there was just a ton of people. So I don't know.
But with that in mind, as Wally had himself a run all those years ago in the NCAA tournament, you're somebody the whole country already knows about. He was somebody that was, you know, became a national phenomenon. You already are. But you're now in your senior year. Your eligibility is up. A lot of players will say, well, I'll worry about this when I get there. But I'm just curious, because this is my first chance to talk to you. Do you pay attention at all to NBA mock drafts? Do you pay attention to what they're saying about you and the NBA? Someone that has dominated the college game the way you have and not really in a conversation as far as lottery pick or even in the first round. Does that stuff bother you? Is that a bit of a chip on your shoulder at all?
You know, honestly, you know, I've kind of been used to that my entire career. It's been the same way as I've moved on to every single level. And it was the same thing going to college. People didn't really see me as a high major guy. So, you know, it's really – It's not new for me. I know that, you know, once I get there, I feel like I'm a hard enough worker that I'm going to do whatever it takes to be able to get on the floor and produce. And, you know, I think that's going to be valuable to some team down the road. But, you know, for right now, my main focus is just on winning in college. And I think I'll figure the rest out later. But, no, that's something that, you know, obviously it's going to motivate me, but it's not something that's going to bother me or get in my head.
Look, do you guys feel like you guys have a chip on your shoulder, that you're underrated, that maybe, you know, people haven't kind of been sleeping on you guys as it relates to going into this tournament?
I definitely think so. I think people, you know, have counted us out at different points in the year. You know, obviously we had a rough stretch there in the middle when we lost one of our starting guards. And I think ever since then, people have kind of been doubting us. But towards the end of the season, you know, we were the number one defense in the Big Ten. And that's what's been, you know, everybody's problem with us was us on the defensive end. And that's what we improved to a very high level. So we're excited to continue to go out there and show how much we've improved on the defensive end and obviously continue to display why we're, you know, the best offense in the country.
Luca, so my junior year, I laughed. Well, actually, my sophomore year when we won the whole thing, we met with Maryland four times. We met with them two times in the regular season, then ACC championship, and then we met them in the Final Four. If you were to meet Illinois again, how would this time be different? I'm just curious because I know that has to be sitting, it has to be sitting in the back of your mind somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you obviously don't like losing, especially when you lose to a rival. So it's something that is, you know, like I said, burned into all of our heads. So we know, you know, we know what that team does, and they're, you know, credit to them. They are a tremendous team. And, you know, the additions they had since last year have helped them so much. You know, you talk about Andre Capello, Curbelo that comes off the bench, and other guys who have just helped them so much that, you know, they're a really dynamic team. And we know what we have to do to beat them. And unfortunately, the two times we got this year, we weren't able to do that. And we're excited. You know, if we do match up again, we're hoping for that matchup.
Luca, we appreciate the time. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, that's Wooden Award late season nominee, although Jay says he's going to win it. Luca Garza, the John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. He is such an interesting story because of the fact that he dominated the college game the way he's had over the last 2 years. An absolute handful in the paint, good footwork on the offensive end. And when I look and see, all right, what do NBA people think of him? It's 45th, second round. And of all places, of course, you would expect, well, what type of game would he fit? Spurs. He's a guy that can definitely score in the post, big and strong, great touch, can shoot the three. But the questions, as he even brought it up, is his speed and ability to defend at that level.
Yeah, I even think it'd be interesting to see how the Spurs make that transition from style of play, because I kind of feel like the rest of the NBA has left them behind,
yep,
to be frank with you. I mean, even DeMar DeRozan leading the league in two-point shot attempts.
Although, how's it working out for them? Because they're still a contender in the West. They still are top five.
Yeah, I know, but are you putting your money on the Spurs to be there at the end of the day?
No, that's a good regular season team that you don't expect to win. And I would also say, if you're a player, do you want to play that style?
Exactly.
You know, I don't know if you're going to attract anyone.
And I think one of the things that Luka has to continue to work on is we're in such a ball screen dominant league with the way the NBA is going. So he's going to have to guard a ton of that action. And guards see that.
Yep.
Guards see laterally how you move. I mean, they do it to Shaq all the time. You see people, I mean, they're doing it to Marc Gasol right now for the Lakers. We talked about this, Key. Whoever Marc Gasol is guarding, come on out here. Mm-hmm. Come in this ball screen. I'm going to string you out, and you're on one-on-one with a guard. If you can't guard that, you're going to spend a lot of time being on a bench. Doesn't mean he can't make a team and can't lose weight and can't actually have those agilities. But, look, he can shoot the ball, and I think that can fit an offensive team. Just defensively, where does he fit?
Yeah, when you bring him out from underneath the rim and you have him come out, can he retrace and get back? Like you said, in pick situations, is he fast enough foot speed-wise to be able to do that? And then you talk about the offensive end. Yeah, he can pound here and there, but teams are taking threes. Nobody's really, you know, everybody is high-volume shooting in the NBA right now.
You see guys in the league, Enes Kanter's one. Enes Kanter can get you a double-double any night. But
you pull him out in the fourth quarter too sometimes.
I mean, but you can't play him late because of exactly what you said. You're going to switch. You're going to get caught in a switch, and he's just going to be on an island. You don't want to see it. In the NFL, I guess sometimes on the line, Chris Canty always told me this, you call the weak link the fish.
Or the duck.
Or the duck, right? Yeah. And they fight over who gets their opportunities against them.
Yeah.
You never want to be in the NBA on the defensive end, the fish, because you'll know. You know how you'll know? Whether you'll be running, they'll be running screens until you switch, and then now there you are looking at the other team's best player thinking to yourself, help? Right, looking around, waiting for someone to help you out.
I mean, it wasn't a ball screen, but when we played against Sacramento Kings, Jason Williams called the same play 11 times straight. 11 times straight. And I was on an island. And you start looking at teammates like, help, you out there by yourself. Yeah. Stop it.
All right, well, we move on as we're talking about the Big Ten and also March Madness. And this is a terrific story. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, Alan Hunt in for Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, all guests on the Goodyear Hotline. And now we move on.
Ayo gets that mob deep. Okay, yes, Alan, I see you.
Ayo Dosunmu from Illinois, I think is – Ayo, and he joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Ayo, thanks for joining us. I love your story because it resonates, I know, in Chicago, where you're from, with Illinois. But I also think people in New York can relate to this as well because it's a very – Chicago, like New York, very prideful in what they produce, basketball players. And yet a lot of – players in New York, like we've seen in Chicago, they don't stay home. But you did with Illinois. You did stay home. And you had a chance last year, and then the pandemic took it away to get to the tournament. You're here now, though. How special is this for you?
And it's an unreal feeling to be in this situation with my teammates, with my coaching staff, and the fans, you know, my home state, to be here helping them, you know, accomplish something that hasn't been done since 2005. It's an unreal feeling.
Ayo, you wear the black mask, which is a tough look, by the way. I had to ask you,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Are you the superhero or are you the villain? Like, who do you feel like you are when you play the game?
I would say I feel like more of the superhero because our fans, capacity only been 25%. But, you know, our fan base is crazy, so it feels like a home game out there. You know, they're coming deep. Every time, you know, we do something good, I'm hearing our fans cheer and they're booing the other team. So I think we have an advantage with the fan base. So I feel like a superhero.
You know, they call him Masked Mamba.
Masked Mamba.
He didn't want to say it. I thought you'd say it, Ayo, but I'll say it for you. Masked Mamba.
I like that. You got to take that one, Ayo. Masked Mamba.
Yeah, Masked Mamba. That's why I like Masked Mamba.
So let me ask you a question. You guys won the Big Ten, win the tournament. Are you going to take the mask off? You still rocking with the mask? Obviously, you guys are rolling with it.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I have to wear it for the rest of the season because I still have breakage in my nose. So I have to wear it for the rest of the season. And after the season, I'll, you know, take the next steps to whatever it takes, if it's surgery or anything, to, you know, get that repaired.
What was the reaction in the room when y'all learned that you would be the number one seed?
I think we pretty much had a good idea when we beat Ohio State the last game of the regular season. We knew we had a pretty good idea. And then after we went 2-0, we beat Rutgers in Iowa. We also had a pretty idea that, you know, we could accomplish that. And then after we beat, you know, Ohio State to win a Big Ten title, it was crazy. Like, all of it really – we really couldn't soak it in all at one time because, you know, we just had won the Big Ten tournament title. We were celebrating. We were cutting down the nets. And then, you know, the selection show came on. So it was just a great, great feeling. You know, we felt great.
You guys have Kofi Cockburn on your team, a sophomore, averaging 19.5 points, 9 rebounds, an absolute beast, man. He's 7 feet tall. We had Luka Garza on the show recently, and watching him play, I'm like, Kofi makes Luka look small. How has it been having him on your squad with the way you guys are utilizing him and seeing his growth?
Oh, it's been great. Kofi started playing basketball, I believe, what, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and his growth is just off the charts. You know, seeing him really – put time into his game, seeing him really turn into a student of the game is really what I pride most about his work ethic and his development. So, you know, he's out there, he's always looking for the challenge. I always try to, you know, raise the bar for him. I always try to give him more motivation, and he just goes out there and exceeds it every time. So get some rest, and then we'll get ready for the big dance.
You guys, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, boss man, let me ask you this. How has the season been under this COVID situation, prep, all the different things that you've had to go through?
Man, it's a very unique situation, definitely. You know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't. Not being able to see your family after big games, you know, not being able to go outside of your room, having to wear a mask 24/7, pretty much just hanging out with, you know, your coaches or your teammates every day. It definitely was some tough days, but I would say it definitely is worth it. It was definitely worth it. Our team coming together, bonding together, to, you know, sacrificing you know, everything else but basketball, because that's what we love, and be able to play this game. So it was a unique situation that we tried to make the best out of.
Now that you are in the tournament, now that you're the top seed, you go into the bubble. It's probably the first time you're going to feel like it's all basketball all the time right now for you. Like this is pretty much it, and it's six wins to glory for you. When you get to that point, when you know, all right, I'm in there now. You're there now, right? You're there now, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. We was the Indy here.
So do you almost feel like, I know LeBron always uses this thing, you know, zero dark 30 when the playoffs start. Did something switch for you as you got there, as you got into the hotel room, and you said to yourself, all right, here we go, business. You're not traveling, you're not moving, you're not going anywhere, hopefully for the next six games.
Definitely. It's definitely a sense of urgency mentally with myself and with our teammates, because now it's when to go home. There's no time for, you know, collapses. It's every game has to be played tremendously hard as you can to accomplish our goals. So, it feels great, you know, to understand that, to have that circumstances. I feel like it's a great circumstance, and I feel like we have a great chance to go out there and do something special. So, you know, at this time of the season, there's no time to really be worried about going out or, you know, seeing your family, because we put so much work to get here. So now it's all about just focusing in and executing.
We know how important this is, obviously, to the program, but also to you personally as well. So we're rooting for you. Ayo, good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ayo.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
All right. As we move on, we've heard from Drew Brees. Yeah,
like
you like that nickname,
I
right?
I like that a lot.
I know. I thought he was going to say it. Like when you were talking about the mask, I thought, you know, villain, superhero. Yeah. I thought for sure he'd mention it. So I had to slip that in, because that's
like, it would be
on.
So hard to play with that on.
It looks it.
Like, right? Yeah, but after a while, you just get used to it. I mean, it's like anything, right? Like a brace, anything else, just get used to it.
I mean, right. I guess it just, I don't know, your vision, it just.
Just think about
like
breaking your face in the conference tournament and thinking to yourself, like, I've been waiting a whole year after losing last year, and we don't get to play in the tournament, and now this happens to me. And so I don't care what you put on my face. I'm playing every game just because I've been waiting for this for over a year.
And he can go, him and Trent Frazier, man. They are dangerous together.
Yeah, that's a nice team, no doubt about it. All right, we've heard from Drew Brees' children. Now we'll hear from the future Hall of Famer. Brees' first comments since retiring is next after Jay has this from Granger.
Oh. Is it Jay after, or is it Keyshawn?
Key there.
After.
Yep, Key has this.
After.
Key has this.
Well, that was the producer that screwed
this
it up for
was
you.
Was done so. On purpose. Sabotage.
So. Yes, they're trying to get us all out of here. For all the ones who get it done, Granger is always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop by.
Breaking news right now. ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting. 15 years to the day when he signed with the New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees is announcing his retirement.
One of the greatest of all time.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, Jay, Zubin, Alan Hunt in for Zubin. And the guys are counting the minutes till I'm out of here.
Stop.
No, we'll be back.
Why would we do that?
Come on, man. We riding. Show.
I am feeling this, though. I got to admit, I am feeling this. This has been fun. You can play against Key J and Z in the bracket challenges. Over 3.1 million people now have.
You don't get smoked messing with me.
On the brackets.
Deadly.
I love how last year we had some kind of crazy number last year. And after the first day, there was like zero people left with a chance to have a perfect bracket. I don't think it's ever happened. 2 years ago.
Everyone had a perfect bracket? Oh, I know what you meant, two years ago. Right. Years ago. Last year, everybody had a perfect bracket because there was no
Years ago. Wow. That's right.
Absolutely. Again, ESPN.com/bracket. Download the Tournament Challenge app. Search KJZ. Or if you want to take on myself and Bart Scott, that would be Bart and Han. And we'll see you at noon Eastern. Want to remind everybody, Sean Payton is on Greeny at 10:15 Eastern as well. But if you want to hear from Drew Brees, you can hear from him right now as he was on the Today Show and talking about how he knew the end was near.
Last few years, and I felt like this moment was coming, and it just made me so laser focused on staying in the moment each and every day, enjoying the moment, enjoying the preparation, enjoying the grind, enjoying the celebrations with my teammates, just knowing that at some point I will retire and move on to the next chapter. And I want to be able to look back with incredible memories and knowing that I gave it my absolute best.
Now, he won the Super Bowl. He was the Super Bowl MVP. They had 7 winning seasons and 1 playoff win prior to his arrival. 9 winning seasons and 9 playoff wins, including the Super Bowl with Brees as well. And it was time.
Yeah.
But, Jay, like, you did have that little hesitation, like,
because Alan,
walking off the field with Tom Brady, winning, beating you.
Just wasn't that. I'm happy that Drew gets a chance to end things on his own term, first and foremost. I'm happy for him. Now I'm going to speak as a crazy fan. I hate seeing Drew Brees go out that way. I hate it. Like, there's just been a it was the horrific PI call that didn't get called. If it's, hey, this team is locked and loaded, ready to win a Super Bowl. You got guys who are Alvin Kamara and company. Your roster's loaded. He has the rib injury. He tries to battle back early, comes back from that. They lose to Tom Brady. He didn't play his best game. It was kind of a stinker, honestly, his last game. I just wish that things would have ended on higher terms for him. And I know it's not me as a fan to say what terms should have ended Drew Brees' career. He's his own man. He should end it the way he wants. But as a crazy fan, I would love to have seen Drew Brees with this lineup. And maybe it's Jameis Winston, Key. Maybe Jameis Winston can take this team to where Drew Brees couldn't be. But there's a part of me that wanted to see Drew Brees come back and not have it end that way.
If I'm a betting man, it's going to be Jameis Winston. And much like Jay said, you don't want to see Drew Brees, first Battle Hall of Famer, no question about it. You don't want to see Drew Brees go out the way that he went out, losing, I think it was, what, 4 straight years now in the playoffs, not having
controversial losses in the past.
Class, and, you
not
know,
this year, obviously, but still, before that, a couple of times,
yes,
controversial.
I mean, the duck against the Minnesota Miracle,
that's
eyes closed.
Saying.
And then you had the referee, I don't know, the blind referee was looking dead at him but didn't see it. I mean, it's just like, those things happen. But what I would say, as a football guy who has been around a million quarterbacks and played with a bunch of them and have played the receiver position, when I assess Drew Brees this year, injuries, at times not delivering the football in rhythm and in sync, that the guy behind him, this may be a better quarterback moving forward for the New Orleans Saints and Jameis Winston.
Like right now.
Right now.
I mean, when you say he's better,
you're
not talking about the body of work.
Because the idiots of the world, let me make sure I say it clear. Right now, Jameis Winston may be a better quarterback under the tutelage of Sean Payton than an aging Drew Brees for the New Orleans Saints to move forward.
Tell them why you're mad, son.
Clear.
Tell them why you're mad.
For the idiots out there, because I know how they get. Oh, there's no way. We're not talking 15 years ago. We're talking about right now.
I'm talking about the full body of work.
And so when you look at the 30 interceptions and however many other turnovers he had in Tampa Bay, you have to erase that. because he's now with a quarterback expert, in my opinion, a guy who knows how to get the most out of what he has at quarterback, and that would be Sean Payton, along with all of the playmakers around him. When you look at Jameis Winston now versus where he was at, he only saw a little bit against the San Francisco 49ers here and there. He made some throws. He just looks, his mechanics look different than they did in Tampa Bay under Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich. They just do to me. Now, maybe I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, and maybe Jameis Winston loses out to Taysom Hill, but I doubt it. I seriously doubt that he won't be the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints when they kick off in September.
So the question is like, who should fill the shoes? And it's never easy to follow a legend, and that's what Drew Brees is with the Saints. Who should? Who's the best option for the Saints going forward?
Russell Wilson. Well, what? If you're asking me the best option, I'm not saying
Aaron Rodgers.
That's what I'm saying. Just, if there's one person that's kind of out there, I'm not saying they have the ability to make it happen. But look, we had Shefty on, and I asked Shefty, I'm like, is it actually feasible to think that Russell Wilson could end up on the Saints? And he's like, Jay, at this point, he hasn't had the Seattle Seahawks come out and say that he's their future quarterback moving forward. So anything's possible.
Anything could happen. Do I think, though, that Russell Wilson is going to be moved to New Orleans? No.
But if he had opportunity, he would be the best option, would he not?
Yeah, yes, and I think that's why I asked the question.
Because they don't have anything to give them.
Key, you're going with what's reality
for you right now. Yes, I got to go with reality.
Tangible reality is Jameis is there, and he's the guy to go forward. But there's a lot of movement with quarterbacks this offseason. There's going to be more, at least expected. And so the Saints will have options. You're saying he's the best option.
Who are they going to have that's better? Like, think about it. That's available. Marcus Mariota could be available. Do you like Marcus Mariota more than you like Jameis Winston?
No, because Winston's been underneath our scheme for a year.
Not. That's what Reps, I think is in yes. his back pocket. Yes. Probably that not. He almost had like a gap year or a redshirt year.
Yes.
Let me come here and get right, learn the system, and then it's my turn. It's similar to college.
Yes.
Where he's sort of Mac Jones or you know, Tua before
Jalen Hurts. Some of the guys that got to wait their turn. So when you look at this quarterback carousel, so to speak, that we've been screaming and hollering about for the last couple months, there's not a lot of moving pieces that make sense.
Right.
You're going after backups to become a starter? Like, this, I got the guy. Why?
You already got a backup.
Yeah, like, what do I need to go get Ryan Fitzpatrick for? Like, I don't need that. I don't want that. I want the guy that I got, this number two, that looks like a young version of an Aaron Brooks when he was the quarterback there. That's what he looked like in that uniform. And so when these coaches see that, because they've been there, and Sean Payton was on with us earlier a couple months ago and talked about where they were at with Jameis Winston. And right now, according to Ardine and Rossini, they are working on an extension, or better yet, a contract for Jameis Winston right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be $100 million, but it's something to keep him in the fold.
It's something to keep him there. Keyshawn J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. So we asked KeyJNZ on Twitter, who should replace Drew Brees as the Saints' starting quarterback? We'll give you the results, and we'll discuss who we think out of the results, which is right and which is wrong. That's coming up next, but first, Jay has this from Indeed.
As a business owner, guys, trust me on this one. Time is your most valuable resource. That's why Indeed has Instant Match. Post a sponsored job, and Indeed instantly searches millions of resumes in their database to deliver candidates who best fit your job description. Want to go beyond the resume? Choose from over 135 skills tests to challenge applicants on hard skills like computer proficiency or soft skills like customer service. Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit.
Hey, it's Greeny, and Monday we begin an enormous week in sports. It's March Madness and the beginning of NFL free agency. Don't miss a minute. It's me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet?
You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Chris Candy from ESPN New York, and the most influential woman in my life is my mom, Reverend Shirley L. Canty. She is responsible for making the best decision that's ever happened in my life, well, second best decision, which is deciding to play football. I was a junior in high school, and she came home one day, and she got tired of me just coming straight home after school, and she said, you got to get a job or you got to play a sport, but you can't just be home laying on the couch. So I said, you know what? A job sounds like work. Let me go out there and try to play football, and the rest is history. So I got to give a shout-out to Mom for always guiding me, giving me good advice, and helping me make the second most important decision in my life. Thanks, Mom. Love you.
Chris Kenny, my good friend.
I love how CeCe was like, you know,
I love it.
Might as well just give football a try. Boom!
Yeah. You're
like, what? That's how it happened?
And then he grew to 6'8", 300 plus.
Say, oh, my. Like 9 feet tall, won a Super Bowl. 800 pounds. How could he not be dominant?
Well, he wasn't that when he started playing as a kid.
He was big, though.
His dad's
bigger than,
big.
Right? Yeah. Bigger than the smaller kids that he was bullying.
Listen.
CeCe was a bully?
Listen.
Man, all D-linemen are bullies. When they good, they all bullies. When they good.
That's right. Well, that's the mindset that's you're the supposed mindset. To have.
That's the mindset. Well, you think Aaron Donald's not tall, but Aaron Donald's, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he a bully, man. He be dominating them offensive linemen. They scared of him. Mm.
Bart Scott, bully, right? Had to be. Chip on his shoulder when he
linebacker,
came in the
linebacker, though, different.
What do you mean different?
Yeah, linebacker.
Tough as nails.
Watching him and Key. Watching him and Key, though.
Yeah, linebacker. When they go at I eat it, him.
I love it.
Linebackers, I eat them all day long.
Did you?
Wow. Eat linebacker. You eat linebacker.
I'll have the great conversation to open a show today with Bart. Then I have to go back in the archives and see if we can find a player too.
I'm sure I thumped him once or twice somewhere along the lines.
He's not here to defend himself. I
love it.
You know, I ain't gonna give you nothing.
I know
real.
You're not. I know you're not.
Come on, man.
It's
you know,
Alan Hahn.
I probably called him. Bam.
And I'm like, so what we did was we asked on Twitter at KJ and Z who should replace Drew Brees as the Saints' starting quarterback. We gave Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Taysom Hill, or other. Out of those four choices, which one do you think had the highest percentage? Jameis Winston, Russell Wilson, Taysom Hill, or other?
I would think it's going to be Russell Wilson just because his body
popularity.
Of work. His body of work is right there. But they can't get him.
All right, but I
know, but it's just it's hard right. for me.
Understand.
That, live that, in our world, Key.
You know what me. Doesn't exist on Twitter is reason and accountability.
Exactly.
Okay, those things do not exist in that world. So if we're taking – let's remove both.
Okay.
And you're going to go with Russell Wilson.
I'm going to go with Russell Wilson.
Jay? I was trying to really gauge your look, but you didn't really give anything away there.
Poker, baby.
Yeah, it's very, very talented.
That's right.
I'll go Taysom Hill just for – sake of it.
Oh, I like that. You just flip the table, yes. Why don't you? Well, you're both wrong. And Key, actually, your guy is the guy.
Tom Brady.
The obvious
Jameis
selection.
Jameis Winston, 42%.
So there's reason on Twitter.
I like that, right? Wow. And Russell Wilson at 34%, though, right there at number two. Taysom at 19%. So believe it or not, I'm surprised it was that much, 19%.
Yeah, $140 million contract. Wow.
I'm just telling you, my eyes tell me watch Jameis Winston in mop-up duty, in replacing Drew Brees against the Niners. He just looks different to me. He just looks different. That's it. No one's telling me anything. I pat myself on the back because I think I know football.
Small sample bit. Size, though.
No, I get his mechanics and stuff,
no,
man. He just looked like he belonged.
Do you think he might have – maybe set a new sort of standard for some quarterbacks that in their rookie deals might not have reached potential. You know, we have these guys and we call them busts. Oh, he's a bust.
Now
you say, let me get somewhere where they know what they're doing with quarterbacks and I'll back up for you. I'll swallow my pride a little bit. I mean, a number one pick, swallowing his pride
but
and saying I'm going to be a backup.
I mean, Mike Tannehill called Drew Brees a bust, right?
Well, I think he said bust, but I think what he was saying, it didn't work out long term in San Diego, because he had his moments in San Diego. I wouldn't necessarily call him a bust, but think about what Jameis Winston was working with in Tampa, right? It's just young quarterback, a lot of stuff coming out of Florida State from a negative standpoint. He gets into trouble. A lot of it is on his own doing. He gets into trouble with the Uber situation. Mm-hmm. He's just dealing with just – he needed a change of scenery big time. And he needed to be with a coach who was going to turn him into this quarterback that can manage the game and not create problems, not dropping back, throwing it 50 times a game, because he's not there yet. And I think at some point you'll see Sean, who I've been around, who I know, who coached me, get the most out of Jameis. That's why he signed him. He wouldn't sign him if he didn't think he could work with him.
His situation in Tampa wasn't what you could say about someone like Sam Darnold, which is didn't have the weapons. He had weapons in Tampa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. But he also threw 30 picks. But here's what I would say about that being a receiver. Also, Chris Godwin, that was a receiver with him, said half of those interceptions are on the receivers. Wrong routes, drop balls, tip balls. You got to factor that into it. But from a fan's perspective, fans don't look at it that way. When we sit down and we watch film, Allen, we look with the clicker and we go, damn, if I would have gone 3 more yards and turned around, the ball wouldn't have sailed over my head. But when we see it, all we see is ball overhead, interception. Mm-hmm. Or when I run an in cut, instead of drifting uphill in letting the defensive back undercut me, it's a pick. If I shave it downhill, the defensive back can't get in front of me. He's behind me. We know these things because we made the mistakes. Public doesn't know that. You don't know it. Jay doesn't know it. So the first thing we looking at television is you go, oh, man, that's a pick. So there's no excuse there, but Sean Payton sees it.
Right.
Well, and he knows it.
That's the most important part is what are the experts seeing? Because as novices watching the game, we think, what was he looking at?
Yeah, exactly.
But a coach who knows what the route was supposed to be, perhaps,
exactly,
thinks something completely different.
Exactly.
And there does seem to be a pretty dynamic, different strategy between the way Bruce Arians coaches and Sean Payton coaches. Just with things that Sean Payton will say in the public as opposed to players. I mean, that stuff kind of factors into it, too.
It's a different situation. Well,
what did Arians say? Like, I can get anyone to throw 30 touchdowns or 30 interceptions?
He did. Yeah, he won the Super Bowl by doing it. But they figured out how to make Tom Brady work. Plus, Tom Brady was already seasoned. You didn't need to do a whole lot with him. You still got a puppy in Jameis Winston, and you don't have the time to run it back year two and three with him. You're like, oh, I can't. They're going to fire me if I keep messing with this dude. Sean Payton, on the other hand, he has time to play around with Jameis Winston, which was last year.
Yeah, well, speaking of Sean Payton, he is on with Greeny next, 10:15 Eastern, if you're waiting for that, to get his comments on the retirement of Drew Brees. Guys.
Great show today,
this
Alan.
This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you letting me tag in.
Evan.
Chop it up with you a little bit.
There?
I'll be back at noon with Bart Scott, noon Eastern. Until then, have a great day, everybody.